To slander a person is to slander the grace of God. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Psalms 101:5. Join Brother Paxton for this timely message from the Word of God.
The 18th chapter of Proverbs, beginning with the 19th verse, tells us, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue." As God's children, if we would realize the tremendous, tremendous, awesome power that our words carry. You see, words are containers for faith. Words are containers for faith. And the Bible clearly says it here that life and death are in the power of the tongue. We can speak life to people. We can speak blessing to them, or we can speak death to them. It all depends on the words that we use. Words are tremendously powerful things. Christians need to learn, and this isn't an easy thing to learn. But Christians need to learn, they must learn, they have to learn how to line their words up with the Word of God. Line your words up today with the Word of God, and tomorrow you will see, you will begin to see the results of faith-filled words. I'm concerned in the church, however, that too oftentimes we engage in speaking that causes hurt and harm to come to one another in the body of Christ. And I want to use for my subject today, speaking to you for a few moments, slander. It is a terrible evil. It is a wicked sin. It's a powerful tool that Satan uses in the church to steal and to kill and to destroy slander. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come to you lifting up that name, worshiping the Son of God. Lord, I know that within my own strength, I am nothing. I can't deliver today the text that you've given me to deliver, except you anoint me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I believe that the anointer is within. He that is within me is greater than he that is within the world. And Lord, not only anoint my lips to become what you would want them to say and want them to be, but anoint the ears and the hearts of the people that they might hear and receive of the engrafted word that is able to save their soul. I'll ask it all in the name of Jesus, giving you all the praise, giving you all the glory, and everyone would say, amen and amen. Slander. Webster defines slander as the utterance of false charges or misrepresentations. Notice the terminology. False charges or misrepresentations, which defame, in other words, destroy the character, and damage another's reputation. I want to read that again. This is the Dictionary, Webster's Dictionary definition of slander. The utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. This particular definition came into use approximately 100 years ago. And prior to that time, the definition of slander in the courts of law in America was the utterance of false or true charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to go with me now to the book of James, fourth chapter. And we'll read there in a moment. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. The Bible tells us that Satan accuses God's people before the throne of God day and night. We know from John 8:44 that Satan is a liar. We know that he's a murderer. We know from John 10:10 that he is a thief. He's a killer. Satan is a destroyer. And he is also called the accuser, the accuser of the brethren. It's my belief that any time among God's people that we use our words to accuse, we want to accuse so-and-so of doing this or that. And we make accusation against other of God's children, we are actually lining ourselves up with Satan. You think of how powerful that statement is. When we bring accusation against a brother or a sister in the Lord, we are actually lining ourselves up with Satan. Remember, the power of life or the power of death is in the tongue. God is life. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Satan, on the other hand, is death. He is destruction. He is damnation. The only right that we have in speaking is to speak words of life. As Christians, we have no business speaking words of death. We have no business making accusation against one another, because that's Satan's job. That is Satan's role in the earth, is to accuse the brethren. And when we make accusation against one another, when we use innuendo against one another, we have lined ourselves up with Satan to do harm to the body of Christ and to do harm to the kingdom of God. Before we go to James 4, let's read something from the third chapter of James, and I think it'll be a help and a blessing to you. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, this is talking about a tongue that has not been brought into subjection to Christ. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? So, what James is saying, we as Christians should not speak words of blessing and words of cursing out of the same mouth. The words of cursing are designated for the tongue that has not been renewed by the Word of God, the tongue that has not been subjected to the Word of God. We use that word renewed, and I'm not sure it's proper to do so in reference to the tongue. The Bible says our minds will be renewed. But the Bible also says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the question would be asked, how do I speak words of life? How do I begin to speak words that line up with God's Word? How do I speak blessing? How do I speak life? You need to get the Word of God down into your spirit. You need to read the Word and meditate the Word of God until it gets down in that spirit. And then out of the abundance of the heart and the word heart and spirit can sometimes be used interchangeably. Out of the abundance of the heart, man's mouth will speak. Basically, if there's cursing in your heart, if there's evil in your heart, if there's sin in your heart, it will come out your mouth. On the other hand, if there's love in your heart, if the power of God is in your heart, if the word of God is in your heart, it will come out your mouth as well. And the only right that we have as Christians is to bless. We need to bless one another. When we speak in reference to one another or to one another, those words need to uplift. Those words need to bless. I want to bless my brother. I want to bless my sister. That's the only right that we have. We do not have a right to curse with our words another human being. In reality, and this is a strong statement, I want you to get it. In reality, when we speak words of cursing, when we speak words that do not edify, we are engaged in witchcraft. Now, did you hear that? We are engaging in witchcraft when we speak cursing out of our mouth. You see, it's that the witchcraft element that puts curses on people. It's the dark edge of darkness that would put curses on people. And as children of God, as children of the light, children of the day, the Bible says, we are to bless. We are to bless. Glory to God. Now let's look at that fourth chapter of James. I want to begin with the 11th verse. I believe here that we will see some things that will be of tremendous help, education, and encouragement to one another. James 4:11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that thou judgest another? At first glance, we would read over that. We would not catch the significance of what's being said. When James said, speak not evil one of another, brother, significance of what's being said. When James said, speak not evil one of another, brethren, the Greek word for evil, I'm going to spell it because I can't pronounce it, is K-A-T-A-L-A-L-E-O. And it means to speak against. Now listen to this. To speak against, to backbite, or to slander. And then James went on to say in the next verse, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that thou judgest another? Who art thou that judgest another? The Greek word for judge is K-R-I-M-O, and it refers to a judgment based on facts. Now, listen to this. The word used when it talks of don't speak evil one of another, don't speak evil one of another. Now, this could be a true fact, or this could be something that is made up. It could be something that is false. And when he says don't judge your brother, well, that could be the true facts of the situation. Let's put it this way. Let's say you know a Christian. You know somebody in your church. You know somebody in your community. Maybe you know someone in the ministry and they've committed a sin. And you know what it is. First of all, you probably don't know. But let's just say you know. Let's just say that you know the facts of the situation. James is saying here, don't tell it. Don't speak evil. Don't come against. In the sense of using your words to bring death to that individual. We should only speak life and we should only speak blessing. Now, let's just say they did it. Whatever the sin may be, they're guilty. Let's just say it's true. James said, speak not evil one of another, and don't judge your brother. A long time ago, a preacher gave three statements. When you hear something bad about someone, and I believe those three need to be repeated for the church today. We're talking about blessing and we're talking about cursing. We're talking about life and we're talking about death, being in the power of the tongue. We're talking how as God's people, we would see a lot of the problems in our churches. We would see a lot of the problems in the move of God in the earth today eliminated if we would learn to bless each other. If we would learn to stop aligning ourselves with Satan and accuse and condemn and judge each other and instead begin to bless with words of life that come from the Word of God. When you hear something bad about someone, whether it's true or whether it's not, there's three rules that are good to follow. First of all, you have absolutely no knowledge of what happened. So despite the gossip, the slander, and the innuendos, it is better just to say nothing. I want to read that again. When you hear something bad about someone, it is good to follow these three rules. First of all, you have absolutely no knowledge of what happened. So despite the gossip, the slander, and the innuendos, it's better just to say nothing. In other words, keep your mouth shut. It's none of your business. Secondly, even if you think you know, you probably don't, but even if you think you know what happened, you have no idea of the spiritual conflict involved. I want to insert a few statements right here. It breaks my heart, as I know it breaks the heart of God, every time a leader in the body of Christ falls. Every time a sin is committed in the leadership of the church, it just tears my heart out. And it seems like people are quick to judge and quick to talk, quick to speak. My Bible tells me, be quick to hear and slow to speak. When we're dealing with the sin of a leader in the church, it brings God no glory for us to judge that individual. Because remember this. My wife made a statement in the introduction of this message. When you slander a person, you are slandering the very grace of God. And the point that James makes in James 4:11 and 12 is this. You are slandering an individual. Even if it's true, even if what you're saying is true, if it's accusatorial, if it's death, if it's not a blessing that's coming out of your mouth, you shouldn't say it. Even if the facts are true, even if so-and-so did commit the sin, whatever the case might be, if you're not blessing, you shouldn't be talking. And you have no idea of the tremendous spiritual battle that person faced. Maybe they did commit a sin. Maybe something went awry. Maybe they failed. But you don't know the spiritual battle that they fought in their soul. You don't know the attack of hell that came against their life. And you've got no business judging them. And that brings me to the third rule. When you hear someone bad about someone, if you were placed in the same situation, same temptation, same sin, if you were placed in the same situation, would you have done any better? Or even as well? We're quick to speak, folks. We're quick to judge fellow Christians. We are quick to criticize and condemn things that we don't understand. But as children of God, we are called not to slander. We are called not to curse. We are called to bless. We are called to speak life. And when you hear something bad about a preacher, or when you hear something bad about the Sunday school superintendent, or when you hear something bad about your neighbor, a brother or sister in the Lord, right there in your own prayer closet, you should just begin to seek God for them. And you don't say, "God, give them what they deserve, that old rascal." You don't say, "Well, God, I knew it was going to happen sooner or later. Your glory be done, praise you, Lord." You don't say that. Sounds righteous. It sounds religious, but it's not holy, and it's not godly, and it sure ain't blessing. What you do is you go in your prayer closet and you begin to seek God and intercede for them and say, "Lord, God bless them. They're going to make it. They're going to be restored to fellowship with you. They're going to make it. I bless them. I pray your blessings on them, Lord." That's what James is saying here. We cannot bless and curse out of the same mouth. If you do that, you're a freak. Think about it. If you do that, you are speaking literally as a freak. If you are accusing the brethren, you've lined yourself up with the wrong side, friend. You've lined yourself up with Satan. You're committing witchcraft. You're involved in witchcraft. The only responsibility that I have, the Bible says, "Owe no man anything but to love him." Do you hear that? "Owe no man anything but to love him." And the only words that I have a license to speak are God's words. Words of life. Words of blessing. Words of hope and encouragement. Now listen. We are living in a day and age when hopelessness is seemingly running rampant. And as Christians, we need to bring hope into this world. We need to bring hope to each other. In referring to the scriptures that deal with the rapture in Thessalonians, the Bible says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." We are called to bring hope and comfort and deliverance and blessing to each other as God's children. That's the only words that we have license to speak. In Galatians 6 and 1, we have a scripture that also lends some insight into this issue of speaking against a brother or sister in the Lord that's committed a sin. And I want to say this before we read 6 and 1 of Galatians there. All of us have sinned before God. And God places no differential on sin. The brother that you see that's in a position of leadership that may or may not have committed a sin, whatever the case might be, but that sin is no different than the sin that you've committed in your life. The Word of God is inclusive. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," Galatians 6:1, "you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Now, I want to say this. God's method is always, always restoration. It is never the desire of God to see a brother or a sister condemned, excommunicated, disfellowshipped. The disciplinary procedures of God are not punitive. They are not to punish, they are to restore, and restore only. They are to restore brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so back into fellowship with the body of Christ. And if there is no repentance in that individual's life, then fellowship is to be withdrawn. He's to be approached. There's a scriptural guideline. You can read it in 1 Corinthians 5, I believe it is. There's scriptural guidelines. But if there's no repentance evidenced in that brother or sister's life, then disfellowship is appropriate. But upon repentance, listen to this, upon repentance, there should be restoration of that individual. And God, let me tell you this, the Bible says that when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive them. And God doesn't hold it against that individual. Why should we? Are we greater than God? The Bible says in that fourth chapter of James, and I lost my place in here, so I'll turn back to it. Praise God. The Bible says there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Who are you to judge your brother? Who are you? Who do you think you are to put yourself in a position of judge? And when you make statements like this, well, God can't use them anymore. They've sinned too bad. They've made too many mistakes. They've been involved in these sins now for maybe years, and God can't use them anymore. Then what you're saying is that the grace of God is not sufficient for that individual. You're saying that His grace isn't good enough, and God, that He just can't save them. He can't restore them. But I'm here to tell you today that God is able to save and God is able to restore any individual. I don't care how bad the sin. I don't care how it looks in the eyes of the world. God can restore them. Glory to God. And when we slander and bring accusation against people, we slander and accuse the very grace of God. You see, Jesus went to Calvary. Jesus went to the cross to save a person steeped in the agony of sin, steeped in death, steeped in destruction. His grace is sufficient, amen? His grace is sufficient. So we're not instructed to accuse, and we're not instructed to judge, but rather to restore. To restore. To restore. I want to make that statement again. It's a powerful, powerful statement. To slander a person is to slander the grace of God. It is in effect saying Satan has won this individual. God is not powerful enough to bring them back. God's grace cannot reach them. That's what you're saying when you're judging your brother or your sister in the Lord that has fallen into a sin. Now, I want to ask a question. Especially in these past 5-6 years, we've heard a lot about, you know, this brother has fallen, this minister has fallen, that brother has fallen, that ministry has fallen, and all of this. Well, what is the spiritual position of a fallen brother or sister who has repented? Actually, there's no such thing as a fallen brother who has repented. The only time in the Word of God that you will ever hear the terminology fallen used is in reference to those who have not repented. Now, if a sin is committed, especially but not only in the leadership of the church, and there are some that are very visible, and this sin is committed, and it hurts. It hurts the body of Christ when sin is in the leadership. And God will not condone sin. God will not condone wrongdoing. God will not condone evil. He hates it. And I want to say it loud and clear. I want to go down on record as saying today that God hates sin. He hates any sin. He hates every sin. He hates all sin. And God makes no excuse for sin. God does not wink at sin. So I am not trying today to justify sin. What should our response be as God's people? I'm not condoning sin. Believe me, folks, God does not condone sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Sin destroys. Sin is of Satan. Sin is the opposite, the antithesis of what the Christian life should consist of. We are called as God's people to live holy and to live pure and to live righteously in the earth, in right standing with God. But how should we look at a brother or a sister that has committed a sin? Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in the Greek, it says, all continually fall short of the glory of God. Now, I do not believe that you have to sin. And I don't believe as Christians that we need to get up and sin a lot that day. When we get up in the morning and we begin to go about our day and go about our activity, I don't think we need to sin 5 times during the day or 2 times or 10 times or whatever the case might be. But sin is in this world and we sin. We're not perfect, but when we sin, thank God, hallelujah, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins and not ours only, but the entire world. So if God can forgive me, then certainly he can forgive you. If God can restore me, he can restore you. And every time you sin to one degree or another, be it greater or lesser, you need some type of restoration. You need to confess that sin. You need to go before God and ask for forgiveness and let the Holy Spirit show you where it is that you've missed it. Sometimes it's a hard process. But what I'm saying is, and what I want you to hear clearly in regards to this issue of slander, and today, folks, the church is full of slander. We are full of people that have lined themselves up with Satan to accuse one another and to judge one another and to slander one another and actually murder one another with our words. We actually murder one another with the evil words that come out of our mouth. And the point is, if God can save you, if God can wash your sin away, if God has made a provision for your sin, then he's also made a provision for mine, or for our television preachers, or for anybody else. And we've got no business sticking our nose into other people's business. And the Bible says that love will cover a multitude of sins. Now listen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. If we are going to operate in true Christian love and we see our brother or our sister do something that's wrong, that's bad, that's sinful and evil, the Bible says that love covereth a multitude of sins. It didn't say love goes and exposes it. Now, I want you to hear that. It didn't say that love exposes. It didn't say that love criticizes. It didn't say that love judges. It says love covers a multitude of sin. And my first reaction, if I see a brother or sister that's done something that is not in line with the Word of God or the will of God, and I see a brother or a sister that has sinned and missed the mark, my first reaction should be to go to them and to wrap my arms of love around them and speak words of comfort and blessing to them and bring them back into repentance and bring them back into restoration. That's the point I'm trying to make. That's the point I'm trying to make. Church, we've got to see this. And we run around saying, oh, fallen so-and-so and fallen so-and-so and this brother's fallen and that brother's fallen. The only time in the Word of God that the word fallen is used is in reference to someone who has not repented. If you want scripture on that, in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, it says this. Now, this is Jesus talking. I didn't write this. I'm not the author of it. I wish I would have been, praise God, because there's some bunch of wisdom here. But Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come quickly unto thee, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." Glory to God. And I like that last little phrase on there, "except thou repent." In a nutshell, the moment that a person sins, that a person does evil in the sight of the Lord, the moment that happens, fellowship is instantly broken. Now, I didn't say you was lost. I believe there's a difference between the believer's state and the believer's standing. That's another subject. We won't bother to deal with that today. But instantly when you sin, fellowship is severed. And you need to go to God. And you need to ask forgiveness for that sin. If we confess our sins, God is faithful. And he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. Hallelujah. To cleanse us from all, not just a few, brethren, but all unrighteousness. Glory to God. He's faithful and just to do that, you see. And immediately when that repentance is there, restoration is done. Restoration is complete. That fellowship is restored to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Repentance is probably the most important ingredient in the believer's life. Repentance is the key. Repentance is the one of the kingdom keys that puts the believer in a posture to receive from God. Somebody that hasn't repented, somebody that is habitually walking in sin and they won't repent of it, man, they're not going to receive anything from God. They're eventually going to wind up losing their soul if they're not careful. God demands repentance. And the very moment that repentance is made, I don't like to use that terminology because repentance, it's not something that you just do sort of like a ritual. It's not like offering the sacrifices in the Old Testament. It's different. It's a heart move. You know, in the church today, we are involved in a heart movement. Amen. Hallelujah. God's changing hearts. It's a heart movement. But the moment that repentance is made and that individual cries out to God for forgiveness, fellowship is restored. Glory to God. And a lot of times in the church, again, we would bring our slanderous tones and we would say evil things about that person. Well, did you hear what they did? You got one hand on the telephone all the time, you know. Did you hear what so-and-so said? Did you hear what so-and-so did? Why, they're unclean before God. Well, in the book of Acts, the 10th chapter, the 15th verse, "The voice spake unto him again the second time." This is what it said. Praise God. I like this. "What God has cleansed, that call not thou common." Whew. That's God's answer to our judgmentalism. That is God's answer to our judgmentalism. You know, we would sit and we would say this, that, and the other about a person. But God's saying, "What I have cleansed, don't you dare call unclean." Because I want to tell you something, folks. The blood of Jesus is sufficient to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, I'm not going to go against that scripture. Now, you can do what you want. You can let your pride get in the way. And you can run around and talk about everybody in the church and everybody in the community and everybody in your denomination or whatever. And some denominations today are actually guilty of being aids to the accuser of the book. Some denominations today, and I know the devil don't want to hear this, but some denominations today, he don't want you to know it, praise God. The devil don't want you to hear this, but it's true. Organized religion today, in many, many cases, denominationalism today, in many, many cases, is aiding and abetting Satan. And it's tearing up the body of Christ. It's tearing up the move of God on the earth in this hour. But thanks be to God, he's got a remnant of people. He's got a remnant of people that love his name. He's got a remnant of people that are going to walk by faith. He's got a remnant of people that are going to get in this book and live it. Live it. Live it. Glory to God. Forgiveness is a kingdom key. Speaking words of life, words of blessing, those are kingdom keys. Those are essentials in the God walk, in the Christ walk that we're engaged in on this earth. I'm not going to take the time to read all this scripture to you, but there are several, and there are several biblical assessments of slander which are essentially commands against this sin. Point number one, slander is a sin. When you slander your brother or sister, you need to repent yourself for the sin of slander. Now, I'm going to list the scriptures. You can look them up at a later time. It would take too long to read them all. But Exodus 23:1, Deuteronomy 22:13-18, James 4:11, 1 Peter 2:1. Now, basically there are three causes of slander. The first one is an evil heart, Luke 6:45. The second one is hatred, Psalm 109:3. And the third one is idleness, 1 Timothy 5:13. So anyone who slanders someone else has one of these three malignant sins in their life: an evil heart, hatred, or idleness. I want you to think of what we've just said. If your heart is evil, remember the scripture that states, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Our words are containers for faith. They're very powerful. 14 times in the creation, the Bible says, and God said, and God said, and God called, and God said, words are power. Words are power. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. If you have an evil heart, evil things will come out your mouth. If you have an evil heart, slander will come out your mouth. If you have hatred in your heart. Now listen to this. You know why a lot of folks are ugly the way they are? They talk ugly about you. They talk mean. They're all the time hateful. A lot of times it's because they hate themselves. They're harboring a grudge against someone, or they hate themselves, or they're just flat out hatred in their heart. And whatever is in your heart in abundance will come out of your mouth. And the third one is idleness. Idleness. You know, God didn't call us to be idle. God didn't call his people to sit still. If you find that you've got time on your hands, time enough to criticize and judge and slander your brother or sister in the Lord, I suggest to you that you take that time and get in the Word. I suggest to you that you take that time and pray in tongues. I suggest to you that you take that time and seek the will of God for your life, never mind about somebody else's life. Glory to God. Mind your own business. Let God take care of so-and-so over here. Idleness. Jesus said he'll give account for every idle word that you speak. He didn't say you're going to give account for all of the words and the actions and a lot of people, but he said you will give account for every idle word that you speak. So those are the three basic causes of slander. We also learn from the Word of God that there are seven classes of people who slander. And they are as follows. I'm going to give them to you, and I'm going to list the scripture, and then you can look it up. The wicked slander. Psalm 50, 16, verse 16-20. Hypocrites slander. Proverbs 11 and 9. Satanic powers slander. And that's Revelation 12 and 10. We talked about how that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. You know, the word accuse is actually a synonym for the word slander. Deceivers slander. Psalm 52:4. The Bible says that fools slander. Proverbs 10:18. Backsliders slander. Romans 1:29-32. And homosexuals slander. And that's found in 1 Peter 2:10. The Bible also gives us six different results of slander. It tells us that friends are separated. Proverbs 16:28 and 17:9. That deadly wounds are caused by slander. Deadly wounds. Deadly wounds are caused by slander. Proverbs 18:8 and Proverbs 26:22. It says that there automatically, as a result of slander, will arise strife. Proverbs 26:20. Discord among brethren. Proverbs 6:19. Anger. Proverbs 25:23, and murder. Psalms 31:13, and Ezekiel 22:9. So I think you can see by those references that we've just given to you, and I would encourage you to take the time to look them up. I would encourage you, period, to get in the book of Proverbs and dig around in there, and you will see the absolute calamity that will be caused as a result of slander. I want to read those again. It's powerful. Six different results of slander, and there are more, but there are six here that we've dealt with. Friends are separated. What a shame. What a shame to lose a lifelong friendship or to lose a good, godly friendship because of slander. Deadly wounds are caused. You can really, really hurt someone by slander. But I'll ask you, is that a work of God? Did God call you to do that? No. God said that we should speak life, not death. There will automatically arise in the church strife and discord among brothers, anger and murder. So we see from these statements that slander is an extremely serious sin. It's deadly, folks. It's wicked. It's ugly in the eyes of God. Don't line yourself up with Satan and become a slanderer. See, some people even think that they're doing God a service. Some people feel that their calling in life is to expose the sin in the church. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God didn't call you to be a watchdog, friend. A watchdog bites. God sometimes calls watchmen. And what a watchman does, you'll read, you know, in the book of Ezekiel and other Old Testament scriptures about the watchman on the top of the wall. He would look over the wall and see the enemies coming, and he would warn the people. And warning someone is one thing, but biting at them and devouring them is quite another. God calls watchmen, but he never calls watchdogs. And you are not called. Let me tell you, you aren't called to be God's little helper. You aren't called to be the high sheriff of the universe. You aren't called to expose the sin in the body of Christ. You are called to love. You are called to encourage. You are called to comfort. You are called to speak words of blessing, not cursing. Every word that comes out of the mouth of the Christian should be blessing, 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 blessing. And if you can't bless, shut up. Well, that's pretty strong preaching, but I believe it's a great point. If you can't bless somebody, shut up. Keep your mouth shut. Rather than to cause pain in their life even further. You see, somebody that's been tempted by a sin or somebody that has become involved in sin, Man, they're going through enough pain already. If they love God and if there is repentance there, or if they are struggling with a battle in their life, they're going through hell. They don't need you hitting them in the head. They don't need you cutting them up with your tongue. I'll show you how powerful words are. If you take a child, a little child, innocent, lovely, beautiful child, and you begin to call that child stupid. Hey, stupid, what are you doing? Hey, come here, stupid. Man, you're stupid. Can't you do anything right? If you begin to say words like that, that kid's going to grow up and think he's stupid. He's going to have terrible problems in his life. Because the Bible says that we call things that be not as though they were. It's just a tremendous, tremendous power in our words, our vocabularies. Put there by God. You see, words create. God created the world by words. Words are tremendously powerful. You take that same child and you encourage that child and you love that child and you speak words of life to that child, and they're going to grow up to be president of the United States or a congressman or president of U.S. Steel, or just they've got potential that's in their soul that you can unlock by words of life. Glory to God. You know, let's stop damning this generation. America, let's stop damning our kids. Let's stop damning our churches. Let's stop damning our preachers. And let's unlock the untapped potential in people's lives. How? By speaking words of life to them. By encouraging them. By blessing them. We can raise up a generation of leaders. We can raise up a generation of power-packed spiritual dynamos if we will begin to bless. I made a statement in a message some time ago. The message was entitled, "When Somebody Does You Wrong." And I made this statement that we should never, ever, ever pray for God's vengeance or God's judgment to fall on somebody, but we should always pray for mercy. And in this message, I would build upon that by saying that we should pray that God would bless. And we should bless. You know, we as God's people should always be available to help our brother or sister in the Lord. You know, maybe they're the outcast of the church, man. Maybe other people in the church, they don't want to be seen with them. Or maybe they're ashamed of them. Or maybe they're not good enough. Maybe they live on the wrong side of the tracks. But I want to tell you this, God has called us to love those people. And God has called us not to be respecters of persons. I don't care if somebody's got as much money as you got or not. I don't care if somebody's as well off as you are or not. The Bible's called us to love them and to bless them. To bless them. To bless them. Hallelujah. When we hear about people that are going through terrible problems, first thing I would encourage you to do is never repeat it. Never, ever repeat a problem. And secondly, bless them. Pray for them. Go to them and say, "Hey, I heard that you're having a little difficulty. Can I strengthen you in some way? Could I help you in some way?" Pray God's blessings upon them. And above all, I want to close with that verse of scripture again in James 4. I would like for this scripture to sink into your hearts today. "Speak not evil one of another, brothers. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. And if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?" My prayer for you today is that if you've been involved in this sin of slander, that you would seek repentance, seek God, and ask Him to forgive you, and begin to get into the Word of God and let the Word renew your mind and feed that Word down into your spirit until it comes out your mouth. And begin to speak life. Parents, speak life to your children. Pastors, speak life to your people. Christians, speak life to one another and to your pastor and to the evangelist, and speak life. Be a blessing. Do not involve yourself in witchcraft and in slander. Do not be an accuser of the brethren. Don't do Satan's work for him. It is a terrible thing when God's people do Satan's work for him. Don't be an accuser of the brethren, but be a blessing and speak life. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. It's your choice. You can choose what words you will speak. And as God's people, we are not to speak cursing. We are not to speak evil. We are not to speak damnation, but we are to speak life and blessing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank God for your blood today, Lord, that is sufficient to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to cleanse us from every sin. Father, I've tried to deliver this. I've done it badly. But I ask that somehow, in some way, in this little message, that you would use it in the body of Christ. Father, drive it to the hearts of the people that they might hear and receive. Lord God, smite with Holy Ghost conviction, and let's help us, Lord, to all take our place in the body of Christ and rise up together in love. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you for joining me here today. This message, Slander, was the second recording that we ever made in the ministry. It was actually recorded in 1993, and it was released in 1994. Now, prior to that, I've been preaching since 1981, and there are, I guess, some people out there that have recordings of some of the messages through the 80s. I do not. If I could find those people, then perhaps I would make some of those available again as well. I'd have to listen to them and see what I feel like in my spirit. But this was, we started the recording ministry actually in 1993. This was our second teaching that we did on slander. And it's a message that I wanted to bring back now because I believe it's really pertinent to the time that we're living in. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I have. It seems like that there's a new kind of way of thinking in Christianity today among many people. It seems like people feel that everybody should have an equal voice. You can thank social media for some of that. But nowhere in the Bible is it taught that all voices are equal. It actually teaches respect in the Bible. And you get on the social media platforms, and it's nothing to see Christians just spewing out all kinds of ugliness and evil from their hearts. And sometimes it absolutely shocks me that these people call themselves Christians, and look at how they're treating others and talking about things. So I wanted to bring this message back out at this time. I consider it a powerful word, not because I preached it, but because the Holy Spirit gave it to me. And there's some warnings in there that I think we need to pay attention to, and there's some promises attached to right speaking as well. And as we go off the programming today, I want to mention Toby Mack, who I love so much. Toby's awesome. He has a little hashtag that he posts almost every day called hashtag speak life. And here's one that goes right along with this message today. It's a quote by Lecrae, and it says this: believe the best about people. Pray for their shortcomings. You are not the standard. We all need grace. God bless you today, and thanks for tuning in to this classic message. Bye-bye.